fifth chapter of Romans. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. From wrath through him we shall be saved. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. And I'll stop right there. You may be seated. Did you notice who God, through Jesus Christ, shed his blood for? Who Jesus died for? The ungodly. Now think about this. The ungodly. I mean, there are a lot of people today that can fit into that category. The ungodly. You let that soak in just right, and you'll wonder why he even wanted to mess with this. Because it's hard to comprehend how such a beautiful, wonderful Savior, full of love and compassion, could want to give his life for the ungodly. Amen. My subject tonight is going to be announced shortly. Amen. Jesus died for the ungodly. Have any of you ever been there? Amen. Let it soak in just a little bit more. You know, sometimes we put things in the crock pot, and it doesn't look all that good at first, and you don't really smell all that much at first. But you give it time to just sit there and simmer for a while. Pretty soon everybody that walks in the building wants some of it. Amen. Who did Jesus die for? Now I want you also think about this. When there was nothing on the face of the deep but darkness, God had what it takes to do whatever needed to be done in order for us to have life, including creating everything. Light, atmosphere, planets. I don't know why he concluded he had to have billions of planets and galaxies in order to have us little people down here on this little tiny earth. But that's God's business. He knows what it takes to put everything in its right place. I don't get into those debates about, I wonder if there's life somewhere else. I have too many things to be concerned about in this life to worry about that. Amen. I sometimes think about it a little bit, but I'm more concerned about the ungodly of this world, who Christ died for. Amen. Amen. My subject tonight is no matter what. No matter what. Amen. We as mortals sometimes, when we do ungodly things, or say ungodly things, or think ungodly thoughts, or just find ourselves surrounded by ungodliness, we find ourselves sometimes feeling ashamed, feeling lost, maybe because we are lost, feeling like that life is not worth living. Along with all these feelings and thoughts come stress, anxiety, pain, sorrow. We make mistakes when we try to take some matters into our own hands and straighten things out in life. And sometimes we make a mess of things by words we say, things we do, things we get involved in. And if you would just consider your ways, the trail you have been on that brought you to the point where you are now, most of us possibly could conclude we're not worthy to even go to church. And we're not, you know, we don't really have anything to offer God. Because really, when you really consider it, I'm not necessarily talking about any particular person, I'm just talking about most people in general that I know. Before they were ever able to serve God, they were ungodly. Yeah, you know that to be true? Is there anybody here that does not fit into that? Because I want to know who you are and I want to know how you did it. Before you ever found hope, you were ungodly. Before you ever saw that there could be a different kind of life that you could live, you were ungodly. Somewhere along the way, somebody somehow convinced you that there is a way that you can change. There is a way that things in life can be better. And as you consider these things, out of all the multitudes of ungodly people who came into our lives, somehow in that crowd you found yourself desiring more, wanting to get a hold of something that would make life better. It was not that you were more godly than anybody else, but somewhere along the way you saw something that you wanted. And in order to get that, to some degree you made up your mind, no matter what, I'm going for it. No matter what is a lot more powerful than a lot of people realize. Because what happens with this no matter what business is, it doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter how the situation may be so dark that nothing can make it right. It doesn't matter if it's impossible. If an ungodly person will stop in the midst of your ungodliness and make up your mind no matter what, I am changing. And here's why you can do this. Now, you may not be able to do this in a lot of things in life, but you can do this when it comes to serving God. Because Jesus died for the ungodly. And just as He, in the beginning, saw everything being nothing, but He saw it yet coming. He knew there would be light. He knew that there would be humanity walking on an earth. He knew that there would be people coming and going for many, many centuries. He knew that there would be choices that could be made that would cause bad things to happen. He knew all these things before He ever said the first, "Let there be." He knew when there was nothing but darkness on the face of the deep, that He would have a people for His name's sake. Amen. From the foundation of all creation, a lamb was slain. It was in the blueprint of God that blood would be shed for people who were not yet born, not yet created. It was already predetermined that because of the beautiful way that God would make man before he even had an earth to stand on, there would be so many ways that man could choose that God had an answer for all of them. And he allows us to say no to God, to turn our back on God, to run from God, to get tangled up in the biggest mess you can imagine. He allows us to lose our friends, to lose our influence, to lose our reputation, to say things that are ungodly. He allows us to do these things. He allows us to go places where we pollute our minds, watch things, see things, hear things, and because it's become all corrupt on the inside. He allows us to lie, cheat, steal, connive, scheme, do anything you think you're big enough to do. Amen. Till you get yourself into a position where you're just about as dark as darkness on the face of the deep. So impossible that nothing else can happen because you've become as low as it gets, as nothing as it can become. You are nothing. And God steps out on the scene and says, let there be. And all he's looking for is somebody. Amen. Somebody who is in this life, no matter how ungodly you are, who can say in response to God's willingness to recreate, to make new, to change, to give hope, to cause something to be able to glorify his name. The worse it gets in life, seemingly the more blessed people become when they grab hold of this steadfast hope that causes them right in the midst of the total darkness to surrender their will and say whatever it takes, no matter what, I'm going to change. Amen. Hey, I'm not trying to say something way out and profound tonight. It can't get more simple than what I'm bringing you tonight. This is kindergarten Christianity. This is preschool. And I'm telling you, if you go to the greatest seminary that there is and become a DD, a doctor of devils, or whatever it is you want to become out there in these great universities, you're not going to get anything more profound than what I'm delivering you tonight. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we were without strength, he died for the ungodly. In the midst of ungodliness, in the midst of everything negative, in the midst of, and I'm saying a lot of stuff I'm saying right now because I want every ear that wasn't here a minute ago to be here to say what I'm going to say that I'm not saying until she's back on this front seat. Amen. That's not critical. It's just the devil wants all of you to go to the bathroom when the best thing for you needs to be heard. Wouldn't it be something if one trip to the bathroom or a water fountain ended up with you going to hell? Because you missed that one thing that would cause you to say, no matter what. No matter what. Everybody say, no matter what. Now, the world is always saying, no matter what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, whatever it takes. Amen. There are people who will set up all night, every night, tire themselves out, let their body go without food, get to a point of just being weak in order to succeed, to make money, to get to the point. And I'm still lingering in this part of my message, but hey, bear with me. Because I'm talking to you too right now. I'm talking to the ones that are in here right now. There are people who sit up all night and plan and focus. And you've met some of them. They're the rich dudes. They're the ones that have a lot of money, drive the new cars, have the house like you always wanted. have money that you wish you could have in your pocket, have bank accounts, and they have this and they have that. And you can stand around gazing, saying, I wonder why I get all the hard knocks and they have all the luck. It wasn't any luck to it. Amen. It was somebody said, whatever it takes, I'm going to get rich. Or whatever it takes, I'm going to work until things change in my life. Have you noticed that there are people that come here from foreign countries? Well, you've been here all these years, struggling. You've been here all these years, trying to make it, and everything falls apart. I guess I have to give up on that. I'll just preach my message. You'll get to hear it another time. Oh, I don't have to give up. Struggling, seeing that everything in my life that I've tried falls apart. But then here comes somebody from across the ocean. Somebody from across the sea. Somebody from China. Somebody from Korea. Somebody from Mexico. Somebody from Puerto Rico. Somebody, I didn't mean to get personal. Somebody from, somebody from Japan. Somebody from Africa. And you sit there wondering, how is it that I'm ever going to get past where I am? And they come right down the street from where you are and start a little market or a little store or a little restaurant. And they don't have anything to start out with, but they just start with what little they got. At first, it looks like nothing. It looks like nothing. They have so little. In fact, you don't even think about going into that place because there's not really anything there. So you pass them up and you go to the place that looks all flashy and nice and has all this stuff and spend a lot of money there. Passing this place. But you notice as the time goes by, as you drive by, there seems to be more that gets your attention in that little place. When that person who left all, somewhere on the other side of the world, said, whatever it takes, I'm going to America. No matter what, I'm going to America. And they too have struggled maybe all their lives, living in some country where there's a lot of oppression and people taking advantage. And some of them may get here illegally, but they're still saying it's better to be in America illegally than to be where I have been these years legally. And so they just say, well, no matter what. Some of them have died trying to get to the United States. Got in a boat, met in a storm, and a whole group of them determined just to make it to this country, perished. But some made it. And one of them just moved down the street from where you are, and you've been sitting there for years, struggling, can't pay the light bill, worry all day about it. Lay around, think about it, go down to the neighbors or a friend at the supermarket and talk about it. Times are tough. Ain't nothing wrong with times. There's something more involved here. Anyway, things are rough. It ain't any rougher for you than it is for Mr. Chinaman who just arrived a few weeks ago. Oh, it's getting bad out here. Nobody can make it. Somehow that little old store keeps getting bigger and bigger. I don't know how anybody makes it nowadays. It's just tough. Life is tough. Not any tougher it was for that guy to leave where he was in the heart of Peking and said, no matter what, I'm going to America. I'm going to America. I'll lose everything I got to get there, but I'm going no matter what. And when I get there, I'm going to find a way in the freedom that's in that country. I'm going to find a way for me and my family to have things and to be somebody. And they will work, and they will work. And a few years go by, and you see them drive by in a nice new car. And you find yourself driving by their business place where they got all these hired people working for them. And you meet them at the
mall and they're all dressed up and have all these big old expensive jewels on their fingers and around their neck. And you wonder, how to do that? How to do that? Somewhere in their life, when they realize there's something better out there, if I can turn loose of where I am and go there, then things can be worked out after I get there. So meanwhile, no matter what, I'm going to start now to go on this journey. As impossible as it may seem. Got to go all the way to the other side of the world. Don't have the money, the funds to get there. Don't have the know-how. Don't have the contacts. Don't know what to do. But they just keep saying, no matter what. No matter what. Everybody say, no matter what. Man, what special words these are tonight in this kindergarten Pentecostal class. I'm telling you what. I don't care if you find yourself right now at the bottom of sin's cesspool. If you find yourself on the other side of God's great blessing so far, just so deep in sin and so ungodly and so poor when it comes to things of God, you see yourself as having nothing but worlds between you and anything that has to do with God, yet you want to go where those people that are blessed are. You want to go to that place where nobody seems to have it where you are, where you've been abiding all your neighbors and friends. All they do is cause you more heartaches, more confusion. You don't want to stay like this anymore. All your thoughts is on negativism all the time. It's dark out here. It's rough out here. What's happened? You found yourself in a place where you're not abiding, where you can be, if you can find this no matter what. And what I'm talking about tonight is right here where you sit. If you can find that something in your life that says no matter what it takes, I'm going to become a real child of God. I'm going to leave where I am and I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, it's something that's provided. Hallelujah. Some of those that try to make it to America can't make it. Things happen, storms come, problems come. But on this journey, if you determine no matter what, I'm going to heaven, it's provided. All you got to do is start out and be determined and keep saying, no matter what. No matter what, if I have to go to church every night during the week, if I have to get down and pray every day, if I have to read my Bible, if I have to go to the preacher and find out what it is I need, no matter what, if I have to change everything I do, the way I dress, the way I talk, the places I choose to go to, the friends I hang out with, no matter what. No matter what, if I have to change all my thoughts about what I thought it took to be a Christian, no matter what. No matter what it takes, I'm going to become a true child of God. Hey, look, if you're here tonight and you will do that, then no matter what it takes, God will take you by the hand. Just as He looked in the face of darkness and said, no matter what, I'm going to have a sun, I'm going to have a moon, I'm going to have a star, I'm going to have billions of stars, no matter what, no matter how impossible, not only am I going to have sun, moon, and stars, but I'm going to prove to myself and all creation to come. If I want one, I can create trillions of them out of nothingness. If I want one child of God, I can make multitudes live through the centuries, provide my words through prophets yet to come, supply a Savior for those who are ungodly, out in a dark world living in a cesspool of sin, not having any hope, not having anything to trust in, not having anything to look forward to. If they would just say, I am going to change no matter what, then God, when He created us, provided an answer to our no matter what. He said, I will provide a Savior. I will stretch out my arms to a rebellious people. I will provide a way when there seems to be no way, so that people who stand in darkness can see a great light, no matter what. Praise God. No matter what. You see all these people that seem to have more going with God than you do. All these people who seem to be able to just at the drop of a hat drop everything and just praise the Lord and go wherever they need to go and be part of the praise the Lord crowd and say hallelujah. And it's just wonderful to see how they live. And you wonder, why can't I do it too?
You got the same opportunities they had when they wondered how they could do it. Somewhere along the way, out in their place of not knowing what to do, which way to turn, having made all these mistakes of bad choices in life. The God who created everything when there was nothing but darkness, because He's a no matter what God, wants to recreate you. Hallelujah. He's already made the mud ball that you are.
He created man out of the dust of the earth. And here you are. And when you get through with this life, you'll go back to being dirt. Only thing different about you now and then, today you're live dirt, then you'll be dead dirt. But this live dirt, I mean, God just amazes me. Of all the things He created, sometimes I wish He had made us out of a monkey. Because all we are is a bunch of dirt bags. We, you know, at least it's been seemingly a little bit more sense involved to think we came from an ape. I mean, some of us look like, no, I won't say that, but to think that we came from something that has fingers and toes. But God created all this beauty and had all this beautiful earth and the sun shining and everything just going exactly like He wanted. And then He said, let us make man in our own image. Hallelujah. And He reached down and got a handful of dirt and breathed on it. You talk about impossible, but He's a whatever it takes God. Take the most impossible base thing and say, I'm going to make a creature that'll be the apple of my eye. I'm going to scoop him up from the dust of the earth and breathe my breath into him. And this creature will become a living soul. And no matter what it takes, any creature that comes forth after this creature is created will have hope. Hallelujah. To be able to say like God said as He created us in His image, no matter what it takes, no matter how we fail, no matter what we inherit, no matter what sin nature we have in our life, no matter what we become, no matter how we are, no matter how we think, what family we were born in, what country we find ourselves in, no matter how polluted we are, I'm going to make it. I'm going to change. Because God provided it. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This is not to glorify ungodliness, but how much glory God must receive. No wonder there's so much rejoicing over one sinner that comes to repentance, because this is how God fixed it all. If you're a sinner, He'll leave all those who are not sinners anymore just come after you. Because He seems to get a lot of joy in seeing that what He did on that cross is still working when He died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. The more ungodly you are, the more He can change you. Hallelujah. Don't think yourself as unable to make it. I don't care if you're the farthest distance in a jail on the other side of the earth with cobwebs around you. You've been there for 40 years for something you didn't do, or maybe something you did do, and you got armed guards around you. If you want out of here, God is the kind of God, if you say no matter what, He will bring all the armies of heaven, open that door for you, bring you out, lift you up, take you to places where you cannot go, and make it possible that you can be a new creature, set free, and able to have success on the other side of everything that you've ever known. Hallelujah. Praise Him with me tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what, it comes from God to Calvary. He's waiting on a no matter what response. If He's able to crucify Himself, I mean, they thought they did it, but He laid down His life. He didn't put His hand on the cross because of their force. He put His hand there and let the spot go in it because of the power that was in His hand to change the world, to change your situation in life, to cause you to have hope when you were hopeless, so that you could go to a little place called Notre Tabernacle on a cold night in the winter. Amen. And walk in here feeling blue, sad. Life's had its sad moments. Been rough out there. And I don't care where you are. Hopeless. Or maybe you came in the door praising God. Either way. Amen. Jesus is here to meet you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you wonder sometimes, child of God, why you can sit in church for years and maybe become not necessarily complacent, but all human beings have a tendency after you do the same thing over and over to get adjusted to the fact that this is what we do. There are some who will testify, wonder why you're not responding like you should in their mind. But maybe you are responding because we all are different. Amen. I knew some people down south that if they got up to sing, everybody was supposed to dance. But she wouldn't dance when anybody else got up to sing. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody's supposed to say amen when I speak. But she wouldn't say amen. Maybe I should say he wouldn't say amen. I've known several like that. In fact, I've met them even in Norwich. When I talk, they're supposed to respond to me. No, we don't respond to you. And after many of us, people created from the dust of the earth, have had our problems with all the dirt around us, talking about people, we come to church sometimes beat down. We need something to lift our spirits up. It's not that we're backslid. Sometimes we're just tired of the mess. Sometimes we look around us and wonder, is there any hope for them? I stopped at the service station on my way to pick up Sister Elizabeth a while ago. Walked in. Probably the one person I didn't ever want to see for the rest of my life if I could keep from it. Met me there. So it's always follow me out to the gas pump talking. No, the right place, the right time. Because it's as hopeless as it can be between me and that person. You talk about a slimy dirt bag. I'm one of them. You know I was going to say that one was one of them, didn't you? Two dirt bags met at a gas pump. Both of us made out of the dust of the earth. If you knew the whole story of how we got here, no telling what all you hear. It'd make a real good movie, I'm sure. Where we came from and what brought it all together, that first kiss of mom and dad and what all happened from that time to now. And all the chaos and confusion and the things that we caused and the problems we caused for mom and dad and the problems they caused for us. Some of us have crazy stories to tell. Amen. But that one individual is the one I did not want to see face to face on my way to church. Follow me to the gas pump. Yacked in my ear all the time I was pumping gas. Friendly conversation. Ended up needing money, which I didn't have. I said, I'm spending everything I can do right now to get this gas. Hallelujah. You don't need to know the rest of the details. At least I got you leaning forward. And you know what I'm going to tell you right now? No matter what. No matter what. that person, that gas cup, from being right here just praising God same as you can. All it takes for that person to do is say, no matter what, the one that looked at me and said, no matter what, I am dying for the ungodly. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now, Lord Jesus. When we moved into that church in over here on in Greenville, next to Sam's store, when it was a 5-story building. Amen. The man that owned Sunshine Farms at that time was our landlord. It wasn't the man that's there now. He was having a hard time making it. He had invested in that old building. It was falling apart. And he was running a 3-tow lay truck, working at a job every day just to try to make ends meet. Had that little convenience store right next to our little church there. But he was struggling. One day he walked in and he said, Pastor Rutledge, he said, I'm going bankrupt. He said, I'm losing everything. I won't be your landlord very much longer. I don't know what you can expect, but it's going to get rough around here. I'm going to have to give up the store, give up the building, and things are going to change. And I said, and he's still my close friend today. His name is Lauren, and he's a good man, but he had a tough time. And he had to pull out from the investment that he made. A few days later, I saw this fellow from Pakistan. Walked in there and looked around. I didn't know him. Nobody else knew him, but he's from Pakistan. Name is Sam. So after our landlord had passed off of the scene there, left it in the hands of whoever would be next, we were still there. And even the President of the United States came to visit that little place, actually the place next door, but he used our facilities. And we were still there, and there was Sammy walking around looking at the building. I saw him over there at Sunshine Farms store one day, standing behind the counter, waiting on customers. And I said, hi, I've seen you around. You work here? He said, I own this. You own this? He said, we're in negotiations. And this is what I thought. I thought, poor man. Can never make anything out of this. Lauren done shoved this off on some sucker from Pakistan. You know, I didn't say it to him, but I thought, I feel sorry for you. Man, who talked you into taking on this bad investment? I'm so sorry for that loser. We struggled around, had a hard time paying bills. Had things, you know, kind of pile up once in a while, like utilities and just a lot of things happening. But I kept noticing more and more traffic going into that store. I kept thinking, you'll never make it. We'll never make it. One day, in the midst of all of our trying to figure out who the real landlord is, and we were having our struggle with the city and the building inspector and all kinds of craziness going on there, and we were trying to figure out if we could stay or not stay. And I walked up to the counter, and he said, why don't you and I buy this thing together? I said, I don't want to own this rat trap. He said, it can be bought right now. He said, if I had a partner, maybe we could do it together. I said, well, I don't have any money. He said, well, neither do I. But he said, I think we can figure out a way to buy it. I said, count me out. I said, it's owned by crooks anyway, because I looked at the papers he had, and they signed it in a way you could not recognize the signature. And even the date, you couldn't read it. It was like it was purposely done by the mafia or something to kill this fellow from Pakistan. And I left there thinking, nah, I hope he doesn't buy this thing. He'll fall flat on his face.
Meanwhile, I spent a few years falling flat on my face over and over. Then I saw in the paper the building had burned down. A few months went by, and I got to thinking, I wonder what ever happened to Sammy. A few more months went by, and I saw they were building a building there, a new building there. A building that had been a five-story structure with a bunch of people living in slums in those apartments. Floors that leaked and a fire hazard from basement to ceiling. It was just a messed up place. And I noticed this concrete building starting to go up, and I wondered who was a sucker that decided to rebuild this crazy place. And one day I drove by, and there was Sammy's convenience store. I walked in. Years have gone by, Sammy's older. An older gentleman said, "Hey," and I looked at Sammy's daddy. I thought he'd been dead years ago. He's still around, just got back from Pakistan. I looked up and down those aisles, nothing but groceries and all kinds of things and people shopping and doing things. There stands Sammy with a smile. "How's it going, Sammy?" He said, "Just fine." I said, "Who owns this?" "I do." "What part of it?" "All of it." "The whole building. The ground." "How'd you do it?" "Stuck with it." "Stuck with it. And you, no matter what, I go in there a lot after church now, and I walk up and I say, 'Hi, Sammy.' He says, 'How's the church?'" And I'll never forget the day, one day when I was over there visiting him. He said, "You know what? I'm interested in your God." He did. Because, see, he sat there. He sat there and listened to us worship God. He heard us praise the Lord. We'd go there and buy stuff from him with a smile on our face. And a lot of losers like Jamie Pagan driving by on his motorcycle with three cops right behind him. Woo, 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 woo. And he was giving them all kinds of hand signs and riding that motorcycle. We stood there on the sidewalk watching that guy drive by. And he darted up the street where the cars couldn't go, went behind buildings, got away from them all. 2 days later, knelt in our altar and got the Holy Ghost, and he baptized him in Jesus' name. And he walked into Sammy's store, and Sammy said, "He goes to your church?" The story ain't over with him. We're still in contact. You can't taste this thing without wanting some more of it. Let's thank the Lord, everybody. No matter what. Hallelujah. Somewhere one day in Pakistan, Sammy said, "No matter what, I'm going to go to a place where I can provide for my family. I'm going to go to America where I'll have an opportunity to set up late and make plans and look forward to possibilities and do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, no matter what, I'm going to provide a way that I can go back and forth from Pakistan to America, have my daddy come back and forth, have my wife come back and forth, have my children, by the way, they're all grown now, beautiful young people, come back and forth. I'm going to do this thing." He did that. He did that. Hallelujah. If Sammy can do that in the natural, go from Pakistan to America when he had nothing, and buy an old rat trap that gave us nothing but headaches and problems all the time we were there, and make something out of it, and pay for it, and stay up late at night, open at 11 o'clock every night, and make a profit enough to support his ability to go to Pakistan and back. Last month, his dad arrived after many trips back and forth to Pakistan. Sammy paid his way. Amen. If he can do that, surely, when Jesus gave his life for the ungodly, and you find yourself on the dark side of where all the Christians are, surely if Sammy can come from Pakistan to America and have a successful store, with all that Jesus did, you can come from sin to salvation. If you do what Sammy did in Pakistan, and say, "No matter what, no matter what, I'm going to take the mess I'm in
and move it somewhere else. And go to a place where I can find freedom. Go to a place where I can focus. Go to a place where I can dream big dreams. Go to a place where I can work at whatever I have to do. And no matter what, if I have to go to the altar and pray all night, if I have to seek God day and night, if I have to hang out at the church all the time, if I have to go to every service, if I have to change the way I do everything, no matter what. Let me tell you something. If you can do that, that no matter what, God stretched out His arm, He'll take you by the hand, and what you can't do, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. Let us all stand together. If Sammy can do what he did, how much more can you make it to becoming a Christian, a real child of God, with freedom and prosperity and hope for eternal life? Hallelujah. Everybody say, no matter what. When you mean it, it can happen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord Jesus. Just come around the front. I'm thinking of so many no matter what scenarios. You think of all you can. Can you think of anything that could stop you from going forward that would be worth getting hung up on? Hallelujah. I believe in those disciples left all to follow Jesus, there was a no matter what thought in their minds. They didn't really have a lot of hope of anything physical that was promised to them, but there was something about Jesus' invitation. They wanted to go with Him because there was something there that was saying, it's going to be better if I follow Jesus. I don't know what all it took for Sammy to come to America. I watched these Chinese people over here in this store and all these others coming. I've been here a long time. I've watched a lot of Chinese people come here. We got Chinese people all up and down. We got several Chinese restaurants right here on this street. And they're all successful. You'd think at some point they quit building Chinese restaurants. I mean, there's only so many people going to eat. It doesn't matter how many they build, even if they're half a block apart, they still succeed. Hallelujah. The whole family comes together, works all day and into the night. They pull the resource. They do whatever it takes. They provide for each other, provide for themselves. Work, 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 work. No matter what, we're going to make a success out of this. Everyone that I ever knew that started a Chinese restaurant succeeded. Because something happened when they were in China. I'm tired of communism. I'm tired of no opportunity. I see opportunity over on the other side of the world. I want it. If I can get there, I'm going to do something with my life. And somewhere along the way, somebody said, you can make it. Go this way. Go that way. And they started listening. They tried this, tried that, and finally found themselves on a boat or on a plane or some way getting across to this country. And as soon as possible, and they were able to work things out, they went and invested in a little place and said, let's start. Let me tell you something. If a Chinese can come out of the middle of China and do what those guys across the street did when I saw them first moving in till now, I mean, I probably spent $10,000 on egg drop soup over there. Ah, Lord, have mercy. If they can do that, with Jesus having done what He did at the cross, you can make it from where you are. If you just go ahead and do what they did, follow the next step, do this, you don't have to see all that's coming to you. Just know that you're going to do what it takes, no matter what, to get there. Go this way, go that way. Listen to the preacher, go this way, go that way. Get on that boat, get in that ship, go there, do that. And when you get here, as soon as you're filled with the Holy Ghost, as soon as you've got the victory, start making plans on getting yourself rooted and grounded and being consistent and sticking with it, no matter what, year after year, year after year. Grow in the grace of God. Invest in eternity. Lay up your treasures in heaven and watch God prosper you. Everybody praise God with me tonight. Let's praise the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to make it. No matter what it takes for my will to break, I'm going to do this thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord. What's it going to take? It's not that God needs to do another single thing for you. He did everything for you already. Every way that will ever be opened up for you to be saved has already been opened up. Every blessing that you will ever need has already been poured out. Every gift from God that you need to get this success that you're looking for has already been handed to you. Amen. All that's left for you to do is the no matter what. And I'm going to start now, no matter how many times I've tried, this time, with God's help, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. No matter what.